gentlemen, boys and girls, it is time for the Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic Edition. I am your host, Mark, the landing crew Wheeler. And it's Wednesday, folks. It's hump day, or almost the end of hump day. So, getting close to the weekend. I apologize for not being on air last Wednesday, but Hammer Crisp jumped in and did an excellent job. Greg, thank you very, 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 very much. So, let's get started. I got area code 603. You're on the air.
Hey, Mark. It's Greg.
Hey, Greg. How you doing? Thank you again, man.
Oh, no problem. Anytime.
Yeah.
Anytime. So it was fun to do, and but you can have it back. It's a lot of work what you guys do every week to put these shows on.
Yeah. It was more, when I first started doing this, 4 weeks ago, I wasn't expecting it to be as in-depth and as difficult as I was expecting, but you get through. Get through.
Yep.
It.
Yeah, it was fun. It's just, it is some work what you guys do, and we appreciate it too. So,
I find it to be enjoyable and a new experience for me. So,
yep.
But usually we start off the show, folks, with fishing reports, things like that. Unfortunately, little tip also, if you write down all the fishing reports on a piece of paper, and you leave that piece of paper, let's say, like on a countertop, and you have two small children and the pen's nearby, expect that piece of paper is going to get written all over, that you can't read what you wrote down afterwards. So, unfortunately, due to that, I don't have any of the fishing reports, just what I can remember. So, let me start off with South Carolina and Hadrel's bait and tackle. If I can remember correctly. Good catches of reds, flounder, some trout. Remember, folks, if you catch trout down there in South Carolina, to please release them. They had a big trout kill last year. Let's keep them going, just like if you would down in Florida with the snook. What else? Cobia are showing up. I think he said, Spanish mackerel there. The usual suspects, folks. So go to Hazel's in Charleston, South Carolina. You can't go wrong with them, folks. Spend at least 20 minutes on the phone with that gentleman again. They're talking about fishing in the area. So, all right, let's jump up to North Carolina. Pretty much the consensus all up and down the Carolina coast and the Outer Banks area there, because the cobia are here. So get out there and get on those cobia. Bluefish are still around, flounder, spot, croaker around. The usual suspects, I guess you could say. I apologize, folks, again, that I'm not more in-depth with it, but... Yeah, a little malfunction with the children. What else? Virginia. The bay is starting to warm up. You're looking at getting cobia if you can find them. Spaniards by Keep Henry. Bluefish all over the place. Flounder. You got to weed through the small ones, of course, to get the big ones. It's getting good out there, folks, and it's pretty much up and down the East Coast right now. Things are warming up. It's the beginning of, summer for many of us. Kids are out of school in some places. Other places, they got another week or two. So it should be get it while the getting's good before things start getting crazy. So, all right, on the chat board, we have the Nothing. Isaac the Nothing Miller, excuse me. Host of the West Coast Tuesday Night West Coast Show, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. Tune in if you're on the left coast. It's definitely a good show there. I always have fun. So, all right, we have area code 803. You are on the air.
Hey, how's it going? This is Stan. Can you hear me?
Hey, Stan, we can hear you. How you doing, brother?
I'm all right. Just driving back to the house. Just got done with hosting a fishing seminar at the marina. Trying to pick up some tidbits of what's going on. It's exciting times around Charleston right now.
Yeah.
Well,
tell us about it.
We've got, everything's biting. The water is warming up extremely quick. We've got, cobia in the harbor. The redfish are doing awesome. We've got some big monster reds that people are catching on peeler crab, which is half of a soft shell crab. The inshore bites are awesome.
Sorry, I like my
inshore. That's great. The trout, there was big concern that this cold winter really killed off a lot of the small ones, but they're here and they're in force and people are catching fish. It's just from here all the way through the end of November, it's on like Donkey Kong.
Nice. Very nice. Now, is there any special technique you guys use for the cobia down there?
A lot of times they go down near Beaufort, South Carolina, in the Broad River, and they're sight fishing for them. They're also near, the sea buoys and the shipping channels. They hang out underneath it, and a lot of people are just, sight fishing for them. A buddy of mine ended up catching one on some menhaden the other day. The menhaden are so thick in Charleston Harbor right now. If you throw a cast net in on a school, you need help to get it out of the water. There's so many. So that
awesome.
Meant everything. That is the hatch, is just live menhaden.
Still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay, sorry. You kind of cut out there.
I love using
menhaden, bunker, whatever you want to call it. You can get on them there. Definitely every other fish crack, so.
It is.
Cool, man. Very, very cool. So, Greg, up there in the upper reaches of the world, been doing any fishing lately?
Yep. The fish from the Chesapeake are just arriving up here now. We're getting real good bites of stripers. Got to go out real early Sunday morning or real late Saturday night, depending on how you look at it. And hooked up on I got a nice 28-inch striper in the boat, a handful of under 20s. And a buddy of mine hooked up on 5 fish over 30 inches, including a 42-incher.
Wow.
And then another guy, not where I was fishing, caught a 47-incher last weekend, and that's up on the hoagie page. He caught it on a hoagie and said it took it right off the top, just feet in front of him.
That's awesome.
That was just a big old monster fat cow.
Oh, yeah, that's pushing almost 50 pounds there.
Yeah, it was his personal best and just a beautiful fish. Good to see those big fish are around. And, then we got a pretty good flounder bite still going on. So, fishing's pretty good. So heading up to Maine this weekend. See what
I can find. I love Maine. Beautiful country up there.
Yeah, a little early in the season, but the water's still pretty warm. It's pushing 60 degrees in the coastal waters up there. So,
that's not bad.
Water's warming up really quick. Where I was this weekend, majority of the water was in the mid to high 50s, but the bass were wherever I could find 60-plus degree water. It was loaded up with fish pretty good.
Wow, cool. Yeah, this year has been kind of weird. We have, the water, especially around us, what was it, 2 months ago, I looked at the, or 3 months ago, looked at the water temps. They were in the, 40s and 50s. And I looked at it yesterday, and one spot in the bay was 78 degrees. It's like, whoa. I mean, 3 months for it to warm up that fast.
82 in Charleston.
82, geez.
Yeah.
That's like bath water.
It's warming fast. It's freaking me out because of hurricane season. It's getting really warm really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the last thing we all need.
Perfect timing.
Yes, thank you. I've been practicing. So, Weather Channel and everything else, you love the weather report when they say, chance of thunderstorms and showers all day, and then they give you the percentages like 40%, 30%. It's like, really? At what point in the day should I plan on going fishing, considering that all day now I have to worry about getting rained on? But that's the only job in the world where you can be half right half the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to jump off for a few minutes, but I am calling back. I'm just getting home. Got to handle the kids for a few minutes, but I'll be calling back in approximately 20 minutes.
Okay. Well, we'll be waiting for you.
All right. See you in a little bit. Bye.
All right, Sam. All right, folks. Well, the main topic of the show tonight was going to be on inshore wreck fishing, things like that. But there has been something that's been brought to my attention that I really need to talk about, and that is safety. Currently, right now, in the Hampton Roads region, right around where I live, we've had 6 or 7 boat accidents with up to 8 fatalities. These are boaters, folks. These are people in sailboats, things that shouldn't capsize and, go underwater or knock people off. And people are falling off, drowning, things like that. Scary, scary, scary stuff, especially for us, especially now that Memorial Day weekend has ended and more people are going to be hitting on the water. This could get into a very nasty season if we're not careful. So let's talk about safety. Let's see here. I'm pulling up one of the reports. This was actually yesterday off of, it happened 2 days ago. A boater and a sailboat fell off his sailboat and drowned. Another one yesterday. 2 boaters taken to hospital after accident off of Norfolk Naval Station, hit by a unmanned, at the time, crab boat. We had another one where a young boy was father and son were in a little John boat and ran over by another boat. The little boy died, unfortunately. Just lots and lots and lots and lots of, people out in the water who unfortunately should not be out in the water if they keep doing things like this. So, Greg, what kind of safety equipment do you carry just in case the worst-case scenario happens?
Oh, well, the list is quite long. Luckily, I have a Malibu that can carry a whole lot of cargo.
Right.
But first and foremost, always wearing a PFT. Summer, I don't care how warm the water is. The only exception I would ever make is when I'm out with someone and we're in like 2 feet of water or something and you're fishing right there with someone. But other than that, you have to wear a PFT all the time. Most of the fatalities, can be prevented. Even people with serious injuries, most of the time the reason they die is they drown.
Yes.
So, got
it. I see that in all the, fishing reports or safety reports, people drowning because, sitting in a boat. And it's usually what happens all up and down, the country. Is they've been sitting in the boat all day drinking, Guy says, oh, I got to pee. Goes to stand up, loses his balance, falls in, not wearing a PFD, and drowns. Some folks are probably sitting out there laughing and going, oh, my God, I can't believe you just said that. But that's, if you talk to anyone in the Coast Guard, that's 9 times out of 10 what happens.
Yep.
You know, along with, you know, running into pylons, rocks, you know, anything like that.
Yep.
And I go out in a boat with a buddy of mine every so often, and the first thing I ask him is, where are the life jackets? You know, I don't go out on the water without wearing my PFD. Now, I wish a buddy of mine, Chad Hoover, would call. Chad owns, or is one of the co-owners of KayakBassFishing.com. Great guy. Just acquired Hook One Fishing Tackle, folks. Chad is a really great guy. He tells me a story of down in Florida, I'm going to say, I believe, but needless to say, fishing for tarpon. Hooked up on this tarpon, it came up, and I think the tail hit him in the head, knocked him completely out. He was in about a foot and a half of water. And luckily enough, he just kind of slunched down in his kayak, woke up about an hour and a half later, you know, much, much farther than where he, you know, started. And you know, luckily enough, he was okay. Isaac just posted, between Oregon and Washington, 3 bodies have been found missing from various rivers, no PFDs. One's been MIA for months. Yeah. I mean, folks, I can't stress it enough. I don't care if I'm in 2 inches of water. It doesn't take much to drown. Always wear your PFD. Always. So what else do you use, Greg?
Well, once you get past that, anytime I'm out in, a body of water, major body of water, I always have my VHF radio on, especially out in the oceans, currents and stuff. I got a nice floating waterproof VHF radio that I have. I do a lot of fishing out on my own in the ocean and different places. I enjoy the solitude, but if something happens, you need to be able to call for help.
Yeah, sorry about that.
In the U.S. we have a wonderful Coast Guard. You have search and rescue. A lot of people will come and help you, but if they don't know you need help, they aren't coming.
Exactly. Now, what kind of radio do you have?
I have a standard Horizon. It's the mid-level model. It's not the one with the GPS coordinates on it.
Right.
I just couldn't afford that one at the time, but it's a good solid radio. It's been dunked. It floats. It has a battery that'll last much longer than I'll spend out on the water at a time. It lasted, easily 12 hours on the day I fished Jamaica Bay with 12 plus hours out on the water. So, good solid radio.
Where do you keep your radio? That, I think that's a big thing. Is I've got a VHF. Where's that?
Yeah. I keep it, on my life jacket, or most of the time I'm wearing a shirt or a jacket that has a pocket that I keep it there. I also use it to communicate, in non-emergency situations with people on the water as well.
Right.
So, we're bragging, and, if we have fish busting out, even though we're spread out, once in a while we'll share information after we've caught half a dozen or so.
Oh, yeah. Always got to, give them the most pertinent news.
Exactly. So,
All right, cool.
I forgot, if we really want to follow steps, the other thing that's important when you're going out is telling somebody where you're going. Making sure, you know, making sure my wife knows where I'm going, when to expect me back, leaving a float plan on the dash of your truck when you're launching. You know, God forbid something happens, she can call somebody and says this is where they were launching, and, you know, they can see my truck and have an idea of where on the water I was planning on going.
Right.
And try to pick up, you know, follow those steps.
Yeah, that's I think, one of the most important things. I always, no matter if I'm going out on a boat, in the kayak, I tell my wife, I tell, you know, I call someone else up, you know, that knows me, or will be out in the water too, and I leave the same thing, a float plan. Hey, I'm going to be fishing Rudy Inlet and might possibly go out, you know, out of the inlet, no more than half a mile from the inlet. And this is the kayak I have, what I'm wearing. You know, if you know that, you know, in those sticky situations when you might need a little help. So. Yeah.
So, you know, moving, you know, on from there, you know, you have to dress for the weather. Up here in the north, you know, Stan's talking about 80 degree water temperatures, which just sound, you know, incredible. in the ocean up here, we won't see that at all summer. You know, we're hoping for mid-70s.
Right.
You know, and that's maybe for a week or so in August. So, you know, when the water's cold, you know, you have to dress appropriately and dress as if you're going for a swim. The biggest issues up here in the Northeast are people that go out, you know, it may be a 80-degree May day and just be absolutely beautiful. But in early May, you'll have those days and the water temperature is still in the high 40s or low 50s.
Right.
Doesn't take very long before you can no longer help yourself at those temperatures.
Yeah, it's that shock. The moment you hit the water, you kind of lock up and... Yeah, I've had that happen to me once or twice before. Luckily enough, it was in December, and I was able to. I was wearing my proper protective equipment, PPE. PPE. Excuse me. And you know, I can't stress this enough, folks. You can't. There's a video. I think Jim Sammons did it on wader myth. It'll fill up with water. You buy a pair of waders, you know, good, comfortable waders, you know, and a good dry top with a wading belt and your PFD, and you will be fine. Just relax and get off back on the kayak. That's huge.
And, you know, the other thing is go out and practice it. You know,
yeah.
Don't wait till you have, you know, you're in trouble. Now the water's warm, you know. Get out on the kayak, tip the thing over, and get back on it. Figure out, you know, figure out how you're going to get back on it. You know, some people like to wear wading boots and stuff on the kayak. I prefer just, quite frankly, wearing my waders with the stocking foots. You know, I'm using an old pair of waders that I have, so, you know, if it leaks a little bit at the feet, I'm not concerned about it. It's going to leak at the top if I go swimming. But I found myself that if I was in the water with wading boots on, I had a much harder time getting on the kayak.
Right.
I know people that, you know, don't have a problem, but for me, it made it more difficult. And, you know, quite frankly, sitting on the kayak, I find it a lot more comfortable not to be wearing them. So.
Yeah, some of the wading boots can be a little bulky. And, you know, again, that's all personal preference and practice. I found that with when I'm wearing all my waders and my PFD and everything else, I have a little difficulty getting back in my kayak. But with the right motivation, I can get back in the kayak. And, you know, it took a lot of practice. Luckily enough, there was a pool that was open 24 hours or 365 right around the corner from my house, and went ahead and took the kayak over there. And I asked the owner, I was like, hey, is there any way I can, you know, use your pool to, you know, practice reentry on my kayak? And the guy's like, well, for, you know, this and this, I'll let you do it. So for a little bit of adult libation, he was more than willing to let me practice. And, you know, that going from wearing shorts, T-shirt, and my PFD to wearing, you know, my dry suit and, you know, PFD and, you know, everything else that I have when it's cold out was definitely a eye-opening experience. So, yeah, folks, practice. I'm looking here. Bass Pro Shops, the standard Horizon HX280S submersible handheld. Folks, this is one of the very few handheld VHF radios that has a 5-star rating at the Bass Pro Shops website. I believe I have this one hidden somewhere. I just use a small one myself, cheapo, but this is definitely one that, you know, for $100, it could mean coming home at the end of the day. So, is there anything else that you might, you know, that you're sitting there and you're going, you know what, I kick it out all the time, and it's, you know, something I would not leave the boat ramp without. You know, we worked over the PFD, the proper clothing, and your radio. Is there anything else you can think of?
Oh, yeah. There's, you know, all vessels are required to carry a whistle or an audible alarm, you know, air horn or something. So always have a whistle zipped into my life vest. A good sharp knife also on my life vest. One of the first times I tipped over was a totally was done fishing, had been out fishing 6 hours, and no problems, and went to pull in, and I was out sitting outside my dad's docking area, and where I had my rod stored, I found the day before that they would catch on some of the boat canopies as I went into the docks. So right. I turned side saddle just to store all the rods so that they wouldn't get caught. Everything was fine, and a boat wake hit me from behind that I never saw, and wow. Went right over backwards, just totally overcorrected for the wake, and flipped the whole thing over. Well, what I found was I was tangled up in not only fishing line, but a rod leash and some other stuff.
Right.
And, you know, the rod leash is pulled tight to the kayak that's floating, but yet it's wrapped around my ankle somehow, even though the rod was behind me. Not quite sure how they got connected, but they did.
Right.
So I couldn't unclip the rod leash. The rod was still in the rod holder somehow and locked in, but so I had to cut the rod leash. And
right.
Luckily, you know, I had the water was warm. I wasn't in any danger. But if it would have been, that knife, you know, would have definitely been needed if I needed to get in there quick. So that's another piece of safety equipment. I also keep a water bottle with just a standard first aid kit and some other generic safety stuff like a safety blanket, a power bar, and some stuff like that, you know, in case I need it, you know, just a 1-liter water bottle stuff to my hull. And then most of the time now I'm carrying, anytime I go out on the ocean, I have 2 spare paddles with me. I have one of those little telescoping canoe paddles, kids type canoe paddle. And then anytime I'm dealing with a lot of current or wind in the ocean, I normally also grab my son's or my wife's kayak paddle and throw it in the hull, because that little telescoping paddle is not going to get you anywhere into a headwind or a current.
Right.
And then at night there's always the light, and during the day a safety flag. So, you know, boats are, power boats and stuff are supposed to yield the right of way, but if you don't take the responsibility to let them know you're there, they can't yield it to you, so.
Oh, yeah.
You got to be seen.
Nothing scary than having a guy who's high on plane and just tearing towards you, and all you can think about is, I blow my whistle, he's not listening. I hope he sees me. I really hope he sees me. I've had a couple of instances like that. And luckily enough, I actually carry, when I go out into any larger body of water, a pin flare. You can get these at any major boating store. I swear by them. They're small, compact, little flares that come on a little pin. That's the pin flare name. And, you know, they cost a little bit more than your average toy, I guess you'd say. But I would not go out on any larger body of water without them. For instance, last year, was sitting at the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel. Guy was trolling at night. I had my light on. I had everything was right. I had, you know, all my signaling devices and some other toys with me also. And he was trolling, looking at his rods, not paying attention to what he was doing. And I had to pop a flare across his bow. You know, that got his attention, and he stopped and, you know, said a couple of things and then realized, ooh, I am in the wrong. He apologized, and we didn't have a problem since. But, you know, if I didn't do that and I wasn't paying attention, I would be in deep, deep doo-doo. Just for instance, folks, you can go on westmarine.com, a great little flare. If you ever need one, if you go out any farther that you might need one, if you know what I mean. Orion makes a white handheld flare. It's just a pop flare. They fit pretty nicely in most of your pouches, that with most of your kayak fishing PFDs, or you can actually tie them to your PFD just in case. You're looking at $25. You know, again, folks, you don't want to skimp on safety. I've actually gone out a couple of times where I haven't had one or two pieces, had driven an hour to a fishing spot, realized I didn't have them, and then did the weigh-in. Do I really want to go out? Don't I? You know, kind of situation. But definitely turned around and came home because I didn't want to have to, you know, have someone else tell my wife that I was stupid and went out and died. So. Let's see here. Scuba Stan wrote, who carries a pistol? Hammerhead. Greg replied, good point. Something else.
I was talking about Isaac brought up having a pair of bolt cutters for those of us that are fishing in salt water with big hooks and, you know, for muskies, pike, or the big saltwater species, you get a hook in your hand, it's makes it really hard to paddle.
Yes.
And you might not be able to get it out, so you got to be able to cut those hooks.
Very true, very, very true. Scuba definitely do not want to kick you off on the water, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, open season on jet skiers there.
Folks, be very wary of the jet skiers. They might have brains on dry land, but the moment they touch that throttle, they go out like the rooster tail that they're throwing up. Jeez. I can't warn you all enough. Be very wary of those jet skiers. Other safety devices that I know that a lot of people carry. You know, you mentioned a dry bag in cooler climes. You know, because nothing's worse than being wet and cold. On top of just being cold to begin with. But I think what we hit the most on, Greg, tonight, and if you know the Nothing or Scuba Stan or the guest in the chat room would like to call in. Folks, if you are listening, I have not forgotten about you. If you'd like to call in, the phone number is 714-816-4727. It might behoove you to call in because I've got some stuff to give away here in about 10, 15 minutes. So, like I said, definitely want to get on that and call in. But, you know, PFDs. We've all said it. You know, wear your PFD. But if you're listening to PFD yet, this is what you're going to, you know, what kind of PFD do I need? Is what I hear a lot of people say. Do I need to get the big expensive one or fishing or anything like that? Or do I just need to buy just a, you know, cheapo PFD? What's your thought on that there, Greg? What kind of PFD would you go for?
The one that's comfortable. It's
excellent point.
If you buy a PFD and it's not comfortable, you're not going to wear it. You know, that was, you know, when I was a kid growing up, my dad used to make me wear those orange ones, and I absolutely, you know, hated it. They were uncomfortable. They rubbed on your neck. They left you with a funky tan line. you know, there were so many reasons not to like those. You couldn't swim in them. So, you know, when my kids came around, I made sure I got them a comfortable, you know, neoprene type water skiing life jacket. It was hard to get them to take it off to learn how to swim. Because they were so comfortable with them. That was, at one point, I was kicking myself because it's like, okay, you guys need to learn how to swim. But they were so comfortable in their life jackets, they didn't want to take them off.
Which is
good for now in their kayaks. They're perfectly comfortable. It doesn't bother them.
Right.
You know, I had a cheaper one when I started, and I'll admit I didn't always wear it because it wasn't comfortable. The padding in the back made it uncomfortable. So last year I went out and got the NRS Angler model. I forget what they call it.
The Fisherman?
But I went through tried on four or five of them till
right.
I found one, and I didn't buy the most expensive one. There were some that were more expensive that I didn't find that they were comfortable. So, get one that's comfortable. Get one that, you know, if it's got pockets and stuff. I'm a gadget guy. I'm always looking for a pocket to stuff things in.
Right.
I know people that aren't. They want something as low profile as possible.
Definitely.
Get one that's comfortable so you wear it.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, some great ones out there is the Stolquist Fisherman. That's the very, very nice one. It's got the hard pouches on the front. It's really this one I wear, but I think mine's the older Dorado version. Yeah, it's a really comfortable, very, very comfortable. Oh, we got callers. Cool. helps I pay attention, right, Greg?
Yep.
So we got area code 727. You are on the air.
Hey, how are you, Mark? It's Rob.
Hey, Rob. Ladies
hey, Rob.
And gentlemen, boys and girls, I know you can hear me, Rob. It is Rob the Bad Backcast.
Yep, I'm sitting here. Thank
the
you, Ranger
Rick. Host of the Tuesday night, a Bad Backcast live on Blog Talk Radio, kayakfishingradio.com, however you want to look at it. So how you doing, Rob? How you doing,
Hello?
Man? You there?
Ooh.
Yeah. Had some technical difficulties there. What happened? Oh.
I don't know.
All right. Well, how you doing, man? I'm just
good.
Calling to check in and, you know, tell everybody that there's going to be a nice giveaway on Tuesday night. And just want to put it out there. We're going to play some Twitter stuff, some Twitter games, and some with the Tweet Mob. And we're going to play some, figure out how to incorporate Facebook into that. And we're going to have some fun. We're going to give away some fantastic prize packs, which consists of a three-pack of my favorite DOA shrimps in the clear red. They call it measles color because it's clear with red flakes. Amirodine XL and a kayak fishing radio sticker and some always dreaded hand-tied tarpon flies, hand-tied by me.
Awesome.
So,
awesome.
I'll have three of those to give away to three lucky people, and we'll have some fun with it. So tune in next week.
Okay, so what site should people go to check out all this stuff, man?
What do you mean?
This is where you go, backpackcast.com.
Oh, okay, sorry. It's the, you can check out my site, which is abadbackcast.com. You might want to follow me on Twitter. I'm also a Bad Backcast on Twitter. You can follow me. I have a tab on the website, abadbackcast.com, that has some always dreaded follow me tab on there. Take it to my Facebook page, take it to my Twitter. And also, Kayak Fishing Radio has a Twitter page, which is Kayak Fish N, the letter N, Radio. And Kayak Fishing Radio is on Facebook. So you might want to like us and follow us on there, too. So, but Tuesday, it'll just be through my a Bad Backcast Twitter page and Facebook page. So go ahead and
very cool, man.
Look it up, like it, and we'll have fun with it.
Nice. Now, Rob, quick question for you. What would be the one piece of safety equipment that you will never leave the boat ramp without?
PFD.
Hey, all right. So, folks, if you haven't noticed, that's three people already on the show that have said most important thing you go out there is your PFD. So, all right. All right.
Well,
cool,
Mark,
Rob.
One thing that you got to know, I don't know about up there, but in Florida, you're required to have a PFD and a signaling device of some sort, like a whistle or something of that nature. So,
right.
I just put that to my whistle to my PFD, which my whistle is so flipping loud. When I blow it, it hurts my own ears. And
nice.
Let's see. Yeah, and the ditch bag attaches right to the PFD. So if
good.
You need to, you just grab that real quick, and it's got a little, a carabiner on it. You just strap that on, and you're good.
All right, man. Cool. Well, Rob, I greatly appreciate you calling in, man. Good to hear
yes,
you,
sir,
boy.
Man. And I'll let you get back to your show, man. I don't want to hijack your whole show. So
that's all right.
You all have a good one, man.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Take it easy, Rob.
Talk to you later, people.
All right,
all right,
see
folks, ya. Again. All right, Rob. Bye bye. That was Rob, the Bad Backcast DeVore, host of the Tuesday night Bad Backcast Live, Tuesdays at 8 Eastern. So folks, get out there and, you know, listen to him. He's a, it's a great show, a great, great show. So I see an area code 803. We're going to give you a little intro music there. Let's see here. Let's do this one. So I like this one. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Scuba Dan.
Nice.
You like that?
Outstanding. Very cool.
And just for that, Stan, you have won our giveaway today. I was going to give away a rod and reel and stuff like that, but you know what? I'm going to hook you up with a $100 gift certificate to hook1kayakfishinggear.com. How's that sound, buddy?
What? Are you kidding me, man?
No.
Holy cow. That is amazing.
To call in. You know?
Absolutely. And it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's what this is all about. When, you know, Chip Treehugger Gibson started this, he just wanted it to be just like, you know, you're sitting around the boat ramp, enjoying an adult libation, you know, talking about kayak fishing. And that's, you know, what we wanted to do. And, you know, now that we've been on for a little while, let's, you know, let's get more people involved. Let's give them away some stuff, you know, to help them in the pursuit of the slimy dream. And that is kayak fishing. So, cool, man.
Well, it definitely fits, you know, a need. It is something that I've been looking for, and I've tried different things, and, you know, it's the best. And Kayak Fishing Radio is, yeah, it's the coolest thing. I was such a stalker for a while, and I've listened to every show at least twice, some of them more, you know, because you had, like, the first batch of them with Talk Shoe or something. Listen to all of those, and then didn't even know. I thought the show was over, and because I didn't know it went to Blog Talk Radio, and I was so upset. I'm like, what is going on? This is something that's so awesome. So I listened to them. I actually had to drive for work down to Daytona, and that entire trip, I didn't even turn on the radio. I just listened to the whole first Talk Shoe season twice.
Nice.
So I'm excited. Yeah, this is just a
well,
pretty awesome
loyal
thing.
Listener gets a, you know, this is, you know, about time we give you a little bit of you know, recognition. You know, $100 gift certificate to Hook One. That way, you know, that's more than enough to buy a brand new PFD and safety equipment. So there you go, man. Just
yeah, I can't wait to tell my wife. You know, this new addiction actually pays. This is great.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, just send me a PM with your address, and I'll get that out to you as soon as possible.
You got it.
So, all right. So, more on the safety aspect, folks. We had a little fun just there. Let's talk about, you know, something that is – you know, a little advertisement, free advertisement on the kayak lights and flags. There's a gentleman out in Central Virginia who has a company called Yak Attack. Many of us have seen the Visipole. That's his stuff. Luther, I believe. I can't remember your full name. Sorry, brother. Luther Cyphers, I believe it is. Great guy. Created this Visipole. Folks, in the middle of the night, they can see you from a very far distance away with this thing. It sticks high up out of your crate or wherever you have, and is definitely a mucho need. It has reflective tapes on it. It's got a flag that comes with it. I don't go out at night without it. It's definitely one of the pieces of fishing gear that I always keep with me, along with a extra headlamp just in case. And extra batteries, so you never know. So what kind of light do you have, Greg?
I actually Bought a standard, it's a LED pole light for one of our motorboat friends. And I had originally bought the light because I wanted to be able to wire it into the battery that I use for my fish finder and stuff so that I could hook it to a easily accessible switch for me so I could paddle to where I wanted to fish and then be able to turn it off and not scare away the striped bass. But I originally bought it thinking that I would mount it to a fiberglass or PVC pole, that the aluminum would be an issue, but decided to just go ahead and try a regular boat mount and use it as it came, and haven't had a problem with it yet. And it's been out on, you know, half a dozen or 10 trips on the water without an issue. So it's looking pretty good.
Cool. Yeah, I bought, this is, I'm actually on my second one. I unfortunately turtled a year ago and lost my other one, and went ahead and just recently bought a new one. And folks, definitely check out Yak Attack. Thank you, Coastal Fishing, Luther Cyphers, is the man's name. Definitely a must-have, in my opinion. Better than the Scotty, better than anything else you can get. So I see area code 804, you're on the air. Could this be Rob Choi?
Yeah, it's me, man.
What's going on, Rob? How you doing, man?
What's up, dude? I'm good, man. Just thought I'd listen and call in just to, I don't know.
Try to win some more stuff?
What's that?
Try to win some more stuff?
Nah. I think you just had the thing, didn't you? You already did it, so I'm just hanging out, man.
Cool, man. So, quick question for you, Rob. What is the one thing that you will never leave the ramp and, you know, that you would use for safety?
I'm sorry, I missed that first part, man. What did you say?
What is something that you have when you're kayak fishing that is the most important thing for safety?
Well, obviously, you know, PFD and all. On the PFD, I have a knife that kind of clips in, but I kind of think that's important because if anything else was to happen, or, I don't know, if there's times where you just need to cut something real quick, I think it's important. At night, obviously, headlamps and you know, a light pole like you were just talking about. I also have a busy pole. It's pretty awesome. Another good thing about it, actually, I don't know if you guys mentioned it, but you can, you know, when you're fishing and suppose you run out of lights or batteries on your headlamp, you can actually, because it's got those detachable poles on the busy pole, so you can just kind of lift it up and so you're not actually taking it out of the crate or anything, but you can still bend it, you know, after you pull detach from the poles, and it works as a light right over your shoulder if you want. It's kind of nice. Or if the water's really high, which happens sometimes with the HRBT and you're trying to get underneath the bridge and go in between the piling, sometimes the bottom edge of the bridge or where the pilings kind of meet the bridge, they have this little ledge, and sometimes it's a pain to go under there, and so that you can easily just lay down the busy poles. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
I keep a fog horn in mind, like an itty-bitty sports horn, you know what I mean? Just in case.
Right.
Because there are times that, like a whistle, you can't really hear out in the water if it's windy or whatever, you know what I mean? So I haven't had to actually use it. I just kind of mess with it and then once in a while I get a sneak up behind them and let it rip once. And other than that, I can't really think of anything at the moment.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, so, Rob, you done any fishing lately?
I think the last time out, I went out with Kevin and a bunch of his friends, and we went looking for the big reds again, but came up short. One of his friends, Zach, did hook into a massive shark, like a 9 foot plus. We couldn't ID it exactly what kind, but and we really didn't think they were going to react to the swim baits, but he just had the perfect, because a couple of us were trying to throw at it, you know, we were kind of following it and just kind of messing with it, and Zach just had the perfect cast, and it landed just right in front of him without moving, and I saw him actually turn to it, and he got it and hooked up, and it was one heck of a ride for a while there, and probably a good seven minutes, but it was pretty intense there for a bit. But I think he tightened down the drag a little bit too far, and it broke at the reel. So
wow,
that's that.
Yeah, sharks are one of those no-nos for me.
Yeah, that's some intense, kind of scary stuff. So. But Kevin was also sidecasting to another one that he saw. It opened its mouth and everything, and just nipped the back end of his paddle tail. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That'd be cool to get on video.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, they did get a bunch of it on video, so it should be interesting.
Definitely. Oh, definitely got to check that out.
Talk about safety. It's kind of funny because they were... Before we crossed the bridge, they carpooled, so they got a bunch of guys together. And,
Area code 912.
Hello?
Hey. Who's this?
Hello?
Hey. Hello?
I can hear you.
All right. Sorry. I hit the wrong button. So can everyone still hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Mark.
Okay. sorry about that. Folks, we have a little thing on here where you can screen callers and stuff like that, and I tried to use it for the first time, and I absolutely failed. So sorry, Rob, if I cut you off. But
all good.
Area code 912, you're on the air.
Hey, bud, this is Trey with Coastal Georgia Kayak Fishing.
Hey, what's going on? How are you doing today?
Nothing. I heard Rob talking about, in y'all's thread here, talking about, you know, safety precautions, kayak fishing, and I got a good story from this last weekend's IFA in Charleston.
All right, lay it on us.
Well, the life jacket, the Yak Attack, carbon vision pole, those things are awesome. Definitely a nice first aid kit. But what I experienced this past Sunday is a fishing buddy. You know, that's a good safety precaution to have with you as a fishing buddy. I took a spill on an oyster rake and lacerated my hand all up. And my buddy paddled over and helped me get back in my kayak. And, of course, we drove all the way back to Charleston for the award ceremony, and then I came back and went to the ER and got a bunch of stitches in my hand. So,
yeah.
But it was nice, it was nice having a buddy there to help you out.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, oysters are not something to screw around with. I've cut my foot open a couple times, and yeah, each time it's always one of those moments. You know you shouldn't have done it, but hindsight's always 20/20 at the end. So
oh, yeah.
Are you gonna be all right?
Yeah, I'm out of work and out of fishing for about a week and a half. I got stitches in my rod holding hand and
No.
But it's all good. It's a lesson learned, and I also cut up my foot, so I'm limping around. But it's good to kind of hang out in the house, spend time with the kids. They're out of school for the summer, and it's a expensive lesson learned, but it's a fun tournament. Fun tournament.
Oh yeah. Well, it's good to hear that you're going to be okay.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I think the safety aspect of kayak fishing is probably the most important thing that we should plan for and what we should concentrate on you know, before, during, and after we go out.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's heard the saying, plan for the worst and always hope for the best.
That's right. That's right.
You know, if you get, I've had this a couple times where I've gotten the boat ramp, looked out in the water, and that little voice in the back of my head was going, don't go out. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Burr.
Exactly.
You know, some of these were going off, you know, in my head. Don't do it. Don't do it. Danger,
yeah.
Robinson. Danger, danger. Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta listen to that little voice going, yeah, that's not a good idea. You know.
Yeah.
So
now here in Savannah, this year we're doing like 10 to 12, anywhere from basic to advanced seminars, for the locals here. And
nice.
the biggest thing that we harp on is safety, safety, safety. And we cover all the aspects, and I know they get tired of hearing it from me. But, you know, some of the guys have had experiences on some of the on-water seminars, and, you know, it kind of sinks in, you know, about the safety stuff, and they tend to see it more then. And, you know, one other thing about safety that we really harp on is having a float plan.
Yes.
You know, about, you know, telling somebody where you're going, you know, where you're launching, how long you're, you know, going to stay out, what areas you're going to be fishing, you know, and also tell everybody know your limitations, you know, if you're on medication, because we get older every year and, you know, worse in shape, and, you know, some of us on high blood pressure, maybe having some, you know, lung or heart conditions or whatever. We, you know, I tell all my people, know what you can do. Make sure you take your medication. Stay hydrated.
Oh,
especially
that,
this time
of
year.
That's a big one there. Especially with the summer coming on, this insane heat. Folks, even though, yes, I do enjoy my libations, and yes, there is water in that libation, do not drink while you're on the water in the middle of the day. You'll become dehydrated, and this is paramedic Mark, you know, saying this. Stay hydrated. Please drink water. Drink Gatorade, and, you know, in moderation. You know, stay hydrated. You cannot afford to have a heat incident while you are on the water. It will not end well for you. Let's put it that way.
Right.
What was I at? There was something I was going to talk about again. Yeah, brain fart. Sorry, folks. My brain's kind of doing one of these deals right now. And that's my brain right now. I spent way too much time out in the sun today, so... All right, so we've passed our initial hour, so we're just going to go right down the line. I see in the chat room we have Sunrise Yak Man. If you just want to post up on the chat room there where you're going to be fishing this weekend, I'll publish it out to the masses and you know, who you are and where you're at, so this way we can know what's up with your what's up. In your sunrise. Yeah, I'm getting tired, folks.
Hey, guys, I'm gonna sign off. I just grilled up some mahi-mahi, and I'm going to sit down with that.
Mm.
It was good talking to y'all. Good chatting.
All right. So, all
right, guys. Take care.
You have
enjoy.
A good day, man.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right, that was... Terry from Georgia Coastal Fishing. Yes, okay, I did get the right person. You can check them out at georgiacoastalfishing.com, I believe. All right, so let's jump on down here to Greg. Are you going fishing this weekend?
I am hoping to. Kids have a taekwondo tournament up in Maine, so I'm going to throw the kayak on top of the car, and hopefully we're staying in Old Orchard Beach.
Little motivation for the kiddies. Sorry.
Yep. So we're staying in a hotel on the beach, so I'm hoping to sneak out a couple nights and explore around Saco Bay up there and see if I can't get any stripers. So,
nice. Very, very nice.
I'm going to give it a try.
Yeah. Do you have a website, Greg?
Yes, I do. It's yakfish.net. Got a blog up there where post some random thoughts from time to time up there, so check it out.
All right, and people can find you on what website?
Oh, yakangler.com. Pretty much live there now, so check that out. And I think Sunrise Yakman is a new addition on there. I just started seeing him on the yakangler.com site as well. So
nice. Very cool. All right. Thanks, Greg. Really appreciate it. And thank you again for taking over the reins last week.
No problem at all.
All right. Folks, that was Greg the Hammerhead. Sorry, Greg, forgot your last name.
It's okay.
All right, so let's move on down here. Sunrise, hello, sir. Good to see you on there. Let's see here. Rob, you going fishing this weekend?
I'm hoping, man. I might be able to squeeze out Sunday if the weather's nice. I can square away the kids and the wife and make sure they're cool. But hopefully trying to do some cobia fishing, man. Got cobia on the brain.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, you're not the only one that's inflicted with the brown clown disease. So, yeah. Shameless plug time there, Rob. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Shameless plug time. For your website.
Angling-addict.com. Go check it out.
All right, folks, you got to check out his website. Some very nice fish on there, plus some very good reading material also. Rob is greatly appreciated, man. Good to see you back on here. Folks,
yep.
Rob Choi. My sound bite didn't work. Hang on one second.
Oh, good.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Choi.
Woo!
All right, finally.
All right.
All right, Rob. Talk to you later, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Not a problem. All right, Scuba Stan, going fishing this weekend, brother?
I am definitely going to try to get wet. I've recently, just the other day, picked up a tarpon 13T just so I can,
ooh,
my wife and my daughter can have a boat they can play with so I can do some fishing. So we're going to put that thing in, and there's a brackish pond near my house that's fed by the Ashley River, which is one of the rivers that comes out of Charleston Harbor. So it actually has the best of both worlds. It's got largemouth bass, catfish, crappie, brim, redfish, flounder, sheep's head, all in one pond, and some big reds also, you know, something fun to play with. So hopefully I can get out and, you know, play around a little bit.
I hate you. Oh, that sounds awesome, man. Awesome. Now, Stan, do you have a website or anything you want to shamelessly plug?
Yak Angler. That's my new favorite website.
Awesome.
So, I don't have a personal one. I got a Facebook page, but that's it.
All right. Very cool, man. Well, again, congratulations on winning that your gift certificate to Hook One.
Woo!
Yeah, I know you'll enjoy
it. I've already checked out the website. Oh, they've got great prices.
Yes, they do.
So
yes,
I'm totally stoked about it.
Yeah. Just looking at the chat, Sunrise Yakman from Jacksonville, Florida. Love Jacksonville. If you ever get a chance, folks, you want to take a trip, go down to Jacksonville and stay at Little Talbot Island State Park. Absolutely beautiful. Nice and, you know, secluded right by the water. We had a trip out there through Yak Angler, our President's Day boondoggle back in February. Go to yakangler.com and check it out. It was definitely a lot of fun. All right. Again, Stan, congratulations, and hope to talk to you soon, man.
Awesome. Thank you.
Not a problem, man. All right. Well, folks, we're going to call it today with a great show on safety. I can't stress that enough. We got the kitties that are... Yes, they wanted to keep on going, but unfortunately, we can't. Our time is running out for the show tonight. So, again, folks, always remember, wear your PFD. Stay hydrated in these summer months. Can't stress that enough. Know your limitations. You use that little voice in your head that says, safety first. Can't stress that enough. Isaac, are you saying goodbye, buddy? He's on the chat room. I see a little fading wave. Goodbye. But yes, folks, definitely do that. Now it's time for my shameless plugs. Let's see here. I was going to do a nice long background music, but we'll just do it like this. definitely check out the Thursday night kayak fishing radio main show with the Chip Gibson, aka Tree Hugger. Yes, that is the big show, the high show, on a Thursday night, same place at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's a great show. Also on Tuesday night at 8 p.m., Rob, a bad, bad cast, has his show, same channel also, out there. Another great show. That's at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Plus, we have the West Coast show with Isaac the Nothing Miller.
Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio West, your show for all things kayak fishing in Oregon, Washington, California, and beyond. Now, here's your host, Isaac the Nothing Miller.
Yes, folks, that is the intro to the West show. You can do it better than Isaac can. Big news announcement tomorrow on the Thursday night show. Thank you, Isaac, for reminding me. Definitely, folks, want to tune into that. I can't stress, the more you listen, the more you get, the happier you and I and everyone else is around you. So definitely check that out. The West Coast show, folks, is 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. Great show. There, Isaac. Keep it up, buddy. Doing great. And, of course, folks, every Wednesday night on Kayak Fishing Radio. is my show, the one you're listening to right now. Yes, the 8 o'clock show, the big show, my show, Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. You definitely want to listen in next week. It would be good for you if you did. You might come away with something nice, either knowledge or a prize. You always want to tune in, call in, come in the chat room. You never know what I might pull out of my bag of tricks. You just never know. So listen. Listen live. Do it now. All right, folks. Now the more shameless plugs. Go to yakangler.com, the ultimate kayak fishing resource. Folks, definitely want to get on Yak Angler. There's some great stuff going on there right now. Mark and Adam do a great job on there, and it's definitely the next big up-and-coming website on kayak fishing. Also, IrishWaterDogs.com, Brave the Waves Where Giants Tremble. This is a apparel company that I support 100%, some very cool stuff. Plus, in October, the Irish Water Dog Invitational Tournament in Jacksonville, Florida. It's a lot of fun, a lot of great prizes and stuff, so definitely check that out. Well, I got to give it up to the Saltwater Assassin, Chicken on a Chain. Folks, if you can find the chicken on the chain, buy as many as you can and fish them as much as you can. I threw away all my gulp and everything else just for the chicken on the chain. The best color configuration out there in my ideas. Yes, I have dreams of chicken on the chain. Thank you, Charlie. Chicken on the Charlie. Charlie on the chain, however you want to call it. Polachek for turning me on to that color. It's really changed my perspective. So, with that, I think that will do it for today. So, folks, again, thank you for listening to Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I've had fun. I hope you have too. And hopefully, I'll see you out in the water. Remember, wear a PFD, stay safe, take your kid fishing, and tight line. This is Mark Delaney, Crew Wheeler, signing out. Have a good night, folks.